Okay, hello and welcome to the first ever episode of You Don't Look Autistic. My name is Clara and I will be the host of this podcast. Basically, the idea around this podcast is I will interview folks who live with a neurodiversity, illness, or physical disability and just get their take on what life is like with all the challenges of being disabled or ill brings. I myself live with a neurodiversity. I was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder at the age of 20. For anyone who's unaware, autism is a neurological disorder that you are born with, not caused by vaccines, believe it or not. But it also comes with a whole slew of other neurodiversities. So I've also experienced living with depression, anxiety, and OCD. It's a lot of fun. But today I want to introduce my first ever guest, the awesome Pepper, who is here to also chat with me about living on the spectrum and what life on the spectrum is like. So that's a good enough intro.
Yes.
Hello, right Pepper. Now. How are you?
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm doing so good despite the current decline of the world. So tell me and whoever is listening about you. What school are you at? What are you studying? Where are you from? Wherever you want to say.
I'm from Guelph, Ontario, the greatest town in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm at Sheridan. I'm in my fourth year of film and television studies, focusing on writing and directing. And yeah, that's it about it for me.
That's good. That sounds good. I'm also in film studies, so that's cool that we have so much in common already. just for a little bit of background, I don't remember when we met, because we were children, but we met through homeschooling, which is always a special time. So I think I started homeschooling halfway through grade one and then continued to homeschool until the end of grade three. So I probably met you somewhere in there, like around grade two or something.
Yes. I seem to remember meeting you when we were like very, very young.
Yeah. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 21.
21? Okay. So I'm only 1 year older than you. So probably around that time. I don't remember it very well. It was a long time ago, but it was good. You know, homeschooling times. It was great. I have a last question about homeschooling. Did your parents decide to homeschool you and your brothers because, you know, they could tell you didn't like vibe with school very well, or was it just something your parents wanted to try?
I started out homeschooling. So I was homeschooled through kindergarten, and I actually only started school in grade three, which is when you went back. But then when I started school, I was like, I don't really vibe with this either. So I kind of went in and out of homeschooling like every other year up until grade seven. And from that point onwards, I stayed in school full time. But
that's, homeschooling, yeah, that's a lot like,
they're different, you know, they're pros and their cons.
That was the same with me. I was in and out of homeschooling forever until high school. Whenever I went to school, I didn't like it. So I kind of just would always get to a point where I just refused to go. And I think I just found it. I found school very overwhelming, just being in a classroom and being with other students. I never really vibed with kids my age, which was interesting, as you know, a 10-year-old who's like, oh, 10-year-olds, gross, kind of thing.
Old 10-year-old, or were you like a young soul 10-year-old?
I don't know. I was like a bit of both, I think, where it's like I could see the like stupidity of the stuff that kids were into and like just couldn't fake it, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I also was very like young in some ways, where I was like, I still want to just play with my Playmobil and listen to Harry Potter audiobooks. And even though I'm 13, you know,
I totally feel that same way. Yeah. Just having two younger brothers, I just had the most practice talking with them. So I always just like was able to connect with kids a couple years younger than me so much easier than kids my own age.
Me too. I felt like that too. I started babysitting from when I was like 12.
And oh, yeah. Same.
It was like It was like, I was lucky. I didn't ever really babysit kids who were like difficult or annoying, but I always vibed with them really well. And it was fun. And like, and you know, you could kind of, and you could just like, since you're the one in charge, you can kind of take on that role as well. But you can also still be like, I'm the fun babysitter kind of thing. So yeah. So Pepper, you also identify as a person with autism.
Yes.
How did you come about realizing that for yourself?
Well, when I was a kid, obviously I struggled a lot with school, homeschooling, going in and out. A big reason of why I was homeschooled on and off is because I dealt with a lot of bullying at school. And then, yeah, pretty much that. But then I always thought there was something like a little bit off about me that I couldn't exactly put my finger on. I went through like different phases of like identifying with like different things. Like I thought I had depression in high school, anxiety. I was wrong about both of those things. But I was really excited to move out in first year and go like get out of my house, start living that college lifestyle. I thought it was going to be like much easier for me. But as soon as I got there, I started to crash and burn. And I was like gonna fail all my classes, and I was really confused, and I was having a really hard time like connecting with people and making friends with people my own age. And then the strike happened and my roommate moved out, and I was just kind of alone in my room for months, just kind of struggling and having a hard time with everything, and my grades were dropping. And in this like really dark time, I just stumbled across this article on Facebook, and it was about this autistic woman who was diagnosed like in her 30s. And I was like, I read it. I'm like, oh my God, how did this woman get her hands on my life story? Because everything she's saying like completely describes me to a T. And then like for the next year, I just kind of went through like tons of research, and I joined a bunch of autistic Facebook groups, and I like compared experiences with real people, which was really helpful and validating. And yeah, after that first year, I was like, you know what? I'm convinced I'm autistic.
I can relate to that too. I can definitely relate to like taking on sort of like different identities and stuff, and kind of being like, well, I guess I'm just anxious or something. Cause like as a kid, I was diagnosed in a way with like social anxiety. And so my parents and my teachers thought like that was the reason why I was struggling with schools. Like I was just overly anxious, and I was very anxious, but like, when I hung out with other kids at times, like, well, I'm not anxious. I just don't get what's going on right now kind of thing, you know?
Oh my gosh. And yes, so,
And so, yeah. And then, so I kind of jumped around with that a bit, but it never really felt right. And so I also can identify with what you said about, you know, kind of just feeling like something was off. And you just can't really put your finger on what it is, and you kind of just hope like, well, once I get to university, it'll be fine. Once I get out of high school, it'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
And then it totally doesn't get better in that sense. So you found that reading about other people's experiences and stuff was really useful to you and learning about yourself.
Yes, definitely.
That's so good. I did too. I ended up coming across autism in my diagnosis through therapy, which I started going to grade 12, like at the very end of high school, like grade 12. And it was very funny because when my therapist first brought it up to me, I was like, I'm not autistic, what? kind of thing. And then she's like, will you just like look at these resources here and think about it? And I went home and I looked at some stuff and I was like, oh my God. And I kept having like weird moments because like I would read things and it'd be like I don't know, it'd be like enjoy spinning in circles or something, and I was like, I don't do that. And then I literally like I'd be walking down the street like, oh my God, I totally do that. So yeah, it was a very, very interesting experience with that. I'm going to go to my next question for you. I tend to forget when I'm talking about halfway through a conversation. So I'm sorry if we just kind of dwindle off halfway through.
That's okay. I'm the exact same way.
So after you felt confident in identifying as a, as a person on the spectrum, did that like affect your confidence within yourself and stuff like that as well in your everyday life?
It was so great. Like I really struggled at first because I was like, no, I can't be, you know, this is, this sucks because there's no way to like medicate it or whatever and just be normal. But then I kind of like, the more I talked to other people and like, I kind of got into the neurodiversity movement and like saw people celebrating their autism. And I was like, oh, wait a second. There's actually a lot of like really great stuff about being the way I am that I really like. And then just kind of applying like autism coping mechanisms instead of like anxiety or depression coping mechanisms to my life just helped me. Like I struggle so much less with what I used to struggle with as a kid and in high school. I know how to like get myself out of situations that are going to send me into a meltdown now, which is really convenient.
Oh, that's always so good. Yeah, no, I can relate to that too. I remember like, after I, even before like I officially got diagnosed, but I had talked to my therapist and like just felt very confident about it all. I was like, oh my God, I don't have to give a shit anymore. You know, like I can just like, just do it, do me and not care. And I don't care if I get weird looks anymore. I don't, yeah, you know, it was just, it was very freeing in that sense, which was honestly so nice.
Yeah.
So would you ever want to get an official diagnosis, or are you like happy just rolling along with what you feel now?
I would love to get an actual diagnosis. I think that'd be definitely super validating, and it would open the door for me to be able to tell more people I was autistic, because right now I really struggle with that, because someone will be like, oh yeah, cool, when did you get diagnosed? And I'm like, oh, about that. But also it's really hard to find like a place that's willing to do that, and then just like kind of organizing all that. And then also just, I guess I don't super prioritize getting the diagnosis, because I'm pretty confident right now. I'm like 99% sure. But it would make things easier in terms of like explaining myself to other people and having people believe me.
I totally relate to that too. Yeah, I went through about 2 years of believing and knowing that I was on the spectrum, but not having an official diagnosis. And I experienced kind of like imposter syndrome and like just self-doubt. I was like, oh my God, what if it's not true and I'm just weird or something, you know? And I'm just like, oh no. And so for me, I found I would like almost like overdo it in a sense, or be like, hi, I'm Clara, I'm autistic, and just so you know, so it doesn't get weird first, kind of thing.
I totally feel that, man. I had this one job at Starbucks and it was pretty much the only time that I was like, I'm gonna experiment with like telling everybody at work right off the bat that I'm on the spectrum and like see how they react to it, and it was really bad. And no one really got it, and people didn't like me, and like it was a pretty rough experience. I was like, you know what, I don't have to tell people right away. I can like feel it out. I can do it based on like my comfort level, and that also kind of freed me a little bit from the expectation that I needed to also tell everybody that I was autistic.
I can definitely relate to that too, I think it was my first year at Sheridan when I did my 1 year program. I was like, I have to tell everyone just to make sure it's okay, you know, so nothing gets weird. And no one really cared. But then there was like a couple people who kind of would treat me like I was stupid. And they're like, or like I was like a young child or something. And I was just like, okay, right. Interesting. And then I would get the comments of like, oh, you don't look autistic. You seem to be fine. And I was like, that's not really how it works, but okay. You know? And so it kind of became like an extra burden of carrying around other people's reactions in a way.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Now I don't really bother to tell anyone unless it comes up.
Cause it's like,
which is kind of nice.
And my first, when I first like did that, and I would tell a lot of people, I was like, oh, this is going to be great, because like I'm going to tell them autistic and they're going to be like, oh, okay, I know what autism is and this explains everything. So nothing's going to be weird. But then you come to realize that most people don't know what autism is, and they only know the kind of like very stigmatized media portrayal of autism, which is very male and very like focused on like some of the elements that like I don't actually struggle with as much as other people do. But yeah, I was like, yeah, this is actually kind of becoming more of a hindrance than a help. So mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to get to know somebody and then tell them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that too. And just the whole, especially how like the media perception is more damaging than I find useful.
Oh yeah.
What sort of, like, have you seen any films or TV shows that portray autism in a way that you either like or don't like?
I watched Atypical and I had very mixed feelings about it. I watched it before I kind of suspected I was autistic and I liked it then. But then I read a bunch of like autistic people talking about how like they thought it was a very stigmatizing like portrayal. And I was like, okay, yeah, obviously I'm going to listen to these people. It probably wasn't the best portrayal. And then I watched the second season after I had started to suspect I was autistic. And it was a very different experience watching it then too. I think it kind of gave me like, it was the first time that I'd like seen an autistic character that stated they were autistic and it was like about their autism. It wasn't just like, just something about their character. And I think it gave mm-hmm. me a lot of wrong ideas about like ways I had to act in order to be valid or something like that. I think Atypical really oversimplified a lot of like complex issues that people on the spectrum face. And so I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is what it is. If I see someone acting this way, I'll know they're autistic, but it comes in so many different faces. And that was a very one-sided representation. I will say, have you seen Punch Drunk Love?
No, what's that?
It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. It's starring Adam Sandler. It's like his best performance ever. I love it so much. And they don't state that character is autistic, but it was like, I watched the movie and it was like, oh my God, this is also very like, this makes me feel very valid to see somebody kind of specifically struggling with the things that I struggle with instead of like just like I guess autism is very portrayed as like social difficulties mostly, and I do have social difficulties, but I struggle a lot more with like sensory issues and stuff like that. So it was mm-hmm. it was like it was nice to see that portrayed kind of at the foreground. But of course, if you haven't seen the movie, there's no context to what I'm saying.
That's okay. I'm going to write it down because I'm interested in that. I also tried watching Atypical. I don't think I finished the first episode. I just got irritated by it. And I was just like, I think for me, like I haven't seen a ton of different TV shows or films that are about autistic characters or include autistic characters. I feel kind of funny being like, it's the same old, but like, I just felt like it was just like someone opened like a general textbook of like autism is enjoying trains and not knowing how to smile at people. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, well, you could progress a little further than that maybe. But it's still running. So maybe it's made a turn, but, I don't care. But other than that, yeah, I also have not really come across a lot of shows that even if, yeah, like how you said, like aren't specifically introduced as autistic, include a character that deals with some of those ups and downs and stuff. I know when I was in high school, I really, for some reason, just weirdly identified with Sherlock Holmes from Sherlock.
I love that so much.
And I was just like, why do I relate to him so well? And I was like, I don't know. Cause he can be kind of ruthless. And I was like, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I can sort of see where he's, I don't know. It was very funny. So my entire family thought I had like a huge crush on Benedict Cumberbatch because I love the show. And I was just like, no, like I'm 15. Kind of thing. Yeah. He's like 35 or something. I remember that being kind of very influential and being like the first time I like related to a character in some form because that wasn't portrayed as a typical like neurotypical person, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, I think.
Yeah.
Well, going to my next question. Sorry, one second. So like for you, I know you mentioned before that you feel that you struggle less with the social side and more with like the sensory overload side.
Yes.
want to elaborate on that?
I thought, this is actually so funny. When I was in high school, I thought that I was like a social butterfly, and I was totally wrong. Like, I would just go around and I'd say like offensive things to people, and people would like hate me, and I wouldn't realize that they hated me. So I was like, oh, I'm absolutely killing it. I'm like so cool right now. And then as soon as I like read that article and started doing research, I'm like, oh, wait a second. I've learned about masking, and I've learned about all that stuff. And what I'm doing right now is not coming easily to me, and it's not good. So I kind of needed to rethink my social approach. But as soon as I was like familiar with my limitations, I guess I'm a lot better at it now. I do feel anxious going into social situations, especially like work social situations where you have to, there's like, you have to act a very certain way and keep your composure. But I struggle with that a lot less than I did in high school now, knowing how to, I guess, why can't I think of the word? I guess work with what I was given. And like, for example, I'd run out of things to say really fast in a conversation in high school. And my go-to thing was like, oh, I'm just going to say like the craziest thing that comes to my head right now. So I'd be like, oh, LOL, like, what if I just like threw you down these stairs? And people are like, what is wrong with you, Pepper? Why are you saying this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I just don't know what to say. And this seems like it could start a new conversation. But now I default to like complimenting people and asking them questions and stuff, you know, like normal stuff that you should be doing, not talking about throwing them down a set of stairs.
Oh my god. Yeah. I can relate to that too, though, because I would also just have no clue what to say to a person. And for me, my dad would always tell my sisters and I, like, when you're in a conversation, always turn it back to the person you're talking to. So I would just start asking them questions, and sometimes it would work, and sometimes the person would just give you like one word answers or whatever. And so yeah. I just kind of ended up in this like weird like interview situation. Yeah, honestly, it's good practice. But I like, there was times where I was like, so what's your favorite meal or something, you know? And they'd be like, we're in English right now, what are you talking about? And I also didn't like it. Like, I found it very exhausting trying to keep up with that and keep it going. Sure. And like you mentioned with masking too, I also experienced that a lot. For anyone who's listening and doesn't know what masking is, basically I think it's kind of been identified more as a female traits in autism, but it's basically when you fake the situation to make it seem like you're understanding what's happening socially, or you're putting on a front to make sure, just to help you get by. So in reality, you're feeling confused and awkward, but you're putting on a face that says, I'm not, I'm great. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Very much so. I think it's interesting that you would kind of take on that interviewer style, because I had the complete opposite problem where like I didn't think to bring the conversation back around to them. So I would be like very narcissistic in terms of like always talking about myself and bringing it back to me and giving them more information about me. And that was also a reason people did not like me in high school.
Yeah, that's interesting that we both went for like opposite routes kind of thing. Because I would, you know, ask everybody about themselves, and then I'd get pissed off that no one was asking about me, and I'd be like, and I'd just be like, I'd be like, I have cool things to say, but I don't know when I'm supposed to say them, you know. it was a very weird time. I'm so glad I'm not in high school anymore. So you know, we still live in a very ableist society. And I especially started to notice it more in a way after I realized that I was on the spectrum and stuff, especially just when I would tell people too, like, oh, I'm autistic, whatever the conversation entailed. And they would, and a part of it would just be the immediate like judgments and misconceptions that they would suddenly come up with and be like, oh, wow, how can you do math really well or something? And maybe that doesn't specifically apply to like ableism, you know, but like just like the like misinformation going on, or like just, you know, like I always wished I could ask for shorter shifts at work because I would get burned out so quickly. But like, that just isn't really an option in most places. It's just like, no, you're just expected to be able to do this. And I was like, I'd love to, but my brain won't allow me, kind of thing, you know? So do you relate to that at all, or like have experiences like that?
Definitely, yeah. I get burnout more in terms of like, I do get burnt out pretty quick, like throughout the day. But mostly it kind of manifests in like, I'll work really hard for like a month or a couple months, and then like I just won't be able to function for like 2, 3, 6 months after that. And I have to take like long breaks from work and just kind of like just try and live off the little bit of money I have saved up, and really struggle and feel a lot of shame in those periods too. But yeah, that's like, it's an issue. I think so much of ableism in society is like tied in with capitalism, and just the notion that like, in order to be productive and to be a member of society that whose life is valuable, you need to be working all the time, and you're not allowed to take breaks and get burnt out and kind of take care of your mental health. But yeah, I learned about the social model of disability, which is essentially just the idea that you're not disabled by your condition, but you're disabled by society not providing you accessibility for it. And I definitely identify there strongly.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, I recently heard about that as well, and I was like, mind blown, kind of thing. I was just like, oh my god, it's so true. So like, yeah, I experience a lot of burnout too, and I can kind of feel it coming, kind of thing, if I've had a long day at work or something. Like, it just literally feels like parts of my brain are starting to turn off.
Oh yeah.
And I get very like even more of a, like, black and white perspective, even more like irritable, and you know,
yeah, just, like, definitely
to like bite someone's head off. And even if I'm having a great time, just like, I can't do it anymore.
I definitely feel that in my relationship, because we live in, like, me and my boyfriend live in this little room together, and we're just we're around each other constantly. Yeah, and I love it, but then also like, after a certain point in the day, I'm like, oh, I just need to go on a walk, or like one of us needs to get out of here, because just like the noises you're making are driving me insane.
Oh yeah, I understand what you mean there. What's something that you just wish people knew more about autism, or just spectrum stuff?
I guess being an undiagnosed person, I wish people understood kind of how hard it is to get diagnosed if you like are a heavy masker, or if you're a woman, or if you're a person of color, or something like that. Like, people just assume that like, if you're really autistic, you got your diagnosis when you were like 4 or 5, and if you didn't, that means that you are like making it up. I wish people understood more that, like, I guess just like how autism presents in women, and like the different, like, I guess, traits that aren't talked about in the media too.
Absolutely. I would agree with that as well. It was interesting. So I got an official diagnosis 2 years ago, and just the process for that was quite interesting. Being an adult female and stuff, like, I had a very, you know, good doctor and stuff, but I did get the general, like, well, maybe you're just kind of awkward, or maybe you have ADD or something. And I was just like, you know, I'm not here for fun, you know, kind of thing. It's like, I'm serious when I arrive. It was interesting. And one of the things my doctor did say was, she's like, so the thing about autism is no one knows what it is.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, it's true. Because before I was 18 and would have was looking at my own diagnosis and stuff, I wouldn't be able to tell you what autism was, you know. And I have a cousin who's on the spectrum. I have a close friend of mine who's on the spectrum, who I've known for my whole life, and I still couldn't tell you what it means, kind of thing. So yeah, I guess it's just like, the lack of information is very interesting, because there is lots of information, but in a way no one's really sure what it is.
It's such a different experience for every different person who has it.
It's so true. So what would you say is like the most difficult thing you have to deal with at the moment in your life with living on the spectrum?
I would say sensory overload is definitely my biggest kick in the ass, so to speak, just because it's the one thing I like can't at all control, because like obviously if I need to be in class or I need to be at work, I can't exactly like hide in the back and not be overwhelmed. So it's just something I have to kind of deal with every single day. Whereas like I can cancel social events if I'm not feeling up to it and stay in bed, and you know, there's I can control a lot of the other factors, but just the sensory stuff is what kind of gets me overwhelmed and feeling not the best most days.
Yeah, I've been there too. It sucks. It's tough. It's like, because at times I'm like, I would love to be able to like see 10 friends a week and have a full-time job and do something cool every night, you know? But like,
yeah,
I would literally keel over dead if I tried to do that, you know?
Oh my gosh.
So it's definitely, I find it's very frustrating, that side of it all. Having to like very specifically plan out each day. So it's like, can I go to the grocery store and see a friend today? Or should I just go to the grocery store? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? What's something that you like about being on the spectrum?
I like so much about it. Obviously, there's like, it's really hard to separate like what's an autistic trait and what's just like you. And I guess they're one and the same. So it's like, oh, am I this way because like whatever, am I this way because I'm autistic? But like, I guess one thing I really like is just like how interested I get in the things that I like and how passionate I can be about them. And just like that hyper focus when you get into that, that's just the sweetest feeling ever. And I think like, I think I'm a really great problem solver, some stuff like that. And I don't know if this is an autistic thing or just a me thing, but I'm really good at like feeling like complete shit and then like snap and I'm completely out of it and I'm over it, you know? Like I can get through very intense emotions quickly and be okay at the end of it.
I can relate to that too. Yeah. I don't know if that's an autistic trait or not, but I feel like maybe it kind of relates to the side of the black and white kind of perspective and just being like, well, there's nothing I can do about this. Feeling intense emotions all day would be exhausting and pointless. So I might as well just get over it and start moving on to the next thing.
100%. Yep. Totally.
And yeah.
Very easily able to use logic to justify why I shouldn't be feeling like shit right now and kind of snap myself out of it.
But then there's also the opposite side where it's like where you just can't snap yourself out of it. You're just like, why am I doing this? I relate to that too. And for myself, I would also say that's something I really enjoy. It's just like how fun it can be to be like so intensely interested on the randomest topic. It is the most amazing thing. And it's kind of fun. And then you just have all this information that you can keep in your head forever because it's you don't really forget it.
It's I feel like I got the, like, when I watched Atypical, it gave me like the 100% wrong idea of like what a special interest could be. Like I was like, oh, this guy's like, he loves penguins, so he's literally just like talking about them all the time and he can't think about anything else, and that's everything to him, penguins. So I must not have a special interest because I don't experience anything like that. And then I was like, oh no, you know what, come to think of it, whenever I meet a new person, I ask them what superpower they would have. And I've written multiple comic books with me and my friends as superheroes and stuff like that. It's like, it's interesting to get so invested in like just really weird stuff like that. I don't know. I love that. It brings so much joy to my life.
Oh yeah. I love that. Yeah, no, it was, I I'm losing track of words. One of the things I learned from, being a female on the spectrum versus being a male on the spectrum, girls, I think it says more often girls can kind of jump back and forth with different interests. I really hate the term like low functioning and high functioning.
So same, it's kind
of grating. But for lack of a better term at the moment, I think sometimes more of the low functioning side of folks will have one specific interest and kind of live with it. And I think maybe sometimes when you're higher on the spectrum, you can jump around and have other points of view in some ways. Maybe that's a very blanket statement.
The ADHD autism kind of like this, that spicy combination, I would totally identify there And that also just like, it's too easy to get bored of your interests, even if you're really into them. And just,
oh my God. Yeah. It's interesting. I actually haven't really had like a big interest in the last like year, probably. It's weird for me. And I kind of miss it because it's so fun. It's kind of like a drug. It's like a safe drug. It is. It's just like,
I've started to make like whatever film I'm working on or like kind of fantasizing about my interest of the moment. And it's been really nice. It's just like being able to, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm just going to go into my head and watch my own movie.
Yeah. I've been there too. Oh my gosh. Do you remember like as a kid, if you had like a specific, like first really big interest?
I was super into film, like not watching films because we never really, we would watch like the same like 5 to 10 movies that we had on the discs or whatever. And that was our homeschooled life. I was always into like writing little plays and little movies for like me and my brothers and my cousins. And as soon as I got my hands on like my first camcorder, I would start going out and like filming stuff all the time. Yeah, pretty much that. And then just like, I guess theater. I was really into drawing like comics and stuff as a kid. I would always be doing that. And music.
I love it. That's really cool. I don't remember. I remember, okay, yeah, when I was a kid, I was really into cats, like the animals. And then I think when I was like 12 or so, and it was like a really big turn in just me kind of realizing I could get so fixated on some things. I think when you're a kid, like it's kind of normal to be fixated on a certain thing.
Totally.
At that point, I was like 12 turning 13, and I got really into Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I was just like constantly watching the movies, constantly thinking about them and talking about them and like analyzing the stories. And I'd be like, Mom, guess what? And she'd be like, oh my God, again, kind of thing. And then it changed to musical theater when I was a little bit older. And it's kind of, but and films and stuff was always kind of within it. It was basically just like storytelling was kind of
definitely
the overall like thing that encompassed it. And then I'd find things within that that I found really interesting, which was always a blast, always a blast. Okay, we're gonna wrap up soon. I won't keep you much longer. I have one random question. This is because it's purely selfish and I just like to ask you this question, which was, what was your favorite book or movie that you recently enjoyed?
Oh man, recently.
Movie, TV show.
I watched There Will Be Blood in first year, and I wasn't really paying attention. But then I recently rewatched it like a couple of days ago, and it was really good. I really loved it. It was really interesting to watch it as like a fan of Paul Thomas Anderson and kind of see his style developing.
Cool. I have heard of the title. I have not seen it, but I will add it to my list because I have a list for everything. So that's cool. And is that and that's a movie?
Yes, that's a movie. Yes.
And what genre would that fall under?
Wow, what a great question. It's a period piece, and it's like about this like oil guy in the, I don't even know what year it's in. I think it's like in the 1800s, and then it turns to the 1900s or something, like mid movie. But like it's tonally all over the place. I couldn't even tell you what kind of movie it was, but it's a very interesting movie where lots happens, and they do a really great job of disguising how weird the character is until right at the end where you're like, oh, okay, I totally get it. But I would watch it. It's really great.
That's so interesting. I will definitely watch it and let you know what I think. Well, that's so good. Thank you so much, Pepper, for being my first guest ever. This is so exciting.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
You're welcome. Yeah, we'll have to have you back sometime and just continue to talk about autism. I don't know many other people with autism, so I really enjoy getting to speak with other folks who get it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes, okay. All right.
Talk to you. Bye.